Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. The CDC has been extending the travel mask requirement till next month. COVID cases just haven't gone down, according to the CDC. Learn more about it at YumaDailyNews.com. Calling all rock fans, Alice Cooper is going to be all over the Grand Canyon State. The Rock and Roll Hall of Famer has lived here since he was a teen, and last week the state legislator passed a bill creating a specialty license plate for him. Read more about it at YumaDailyNews.com. Yuma's Most Wanted is up on the website. Find out this week's lineup of suspects that authorities want behind bars. The rap sheets have been included. Take a look at YumaDailyNews.com. A man in Arizona has been facing nearly 100 counts of animal cruelty after sheriff's deputies found dozens of dead animals stuffed inside his freezer. The man's home is near Kingman. He's been arrested by authorities. Find out more, YumaDailyNews.com. ADOT has reopened White Mountains Highway after the annual closure. These highways are normally closed for the winter. Learn more about the reopening, YumaDailyNews.com. For the latest local and state stories, go to YumaDailyNews.com. I'm Kendra White.
The news on KBLU is brought to you by H&R Block. At H&R Block, help is here.
First tattoo, huh?
Yep, I wanted to read Tough on Aphids, Easy on Ladybugs.
What's the story behind that?
Well, on my farm, I use this powerful stuff from BASF called Safina Inscalus Insecticide.
Sorry, it's gonna sting. So, Safina Insecticide?
It's strong on aphids and quickly limits plant damage, but gentle on ladybugs.
Gentle on ladybugs?
What can I say? I'm a ladybugs man. Be strong and gentle with Safina Insecticide. Ooh, always read and follow label directions.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning. Welcome back to another episode of Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, pushing buttons, turning dials, and making it look like Willy Wonka's factory in here.
Good.
And
yeah, lots of candy.
Acting like he knows what he's doing when I know that he doesn't. But it's okay, Russ. You're doing good for a Monday.
I'll take it. Good morning.
I'm doing the same thing. So, and we got Howard, our constitutional guru. I shouldn't say he works for, but he volunteers at the Freedom Library, right, Howard?
I've
been
do.
Doing that for
do.
Many, many years, and we've invited him for the last, I think, year plus to be part of our show because he always comes in with great insights as it pertains to libertarianism and constitutional issues and freedom of our fundamental God-given rights, I would say, and how we can continue to protect those through constitutional means. And we've got Cody. Cody, you know Cody. He's been with us for many, many years, and he continues to do his program on Saturdays, right? Cody is your mainstay, the desert life?
I'm on the weekends.
Yeah.
It is on.
It is on. I hear you.
All right.
Loud and clear. And today is my favorite day, you know, out of all the days, all the holidays. Today's tax day, everybody.
Oh.
So get ready for the wonderful IRS to come into your life.
And,
is that sarcasm?
Yeah, that's sarcasm, in case you didn't catch it. Yeah, this is my favorite day. We were blessed this year by the federal government. We did not have to file on the 15th. We got an extra weekend. Thank goodness for Good Friday. I don't know if there's any practicing IRS agents of Catholicism, but Good Friday, they gave us a gracious weekend to get our taxes done. And now today is the day. So hopefully you either got your extension in or you're filing today. And that kind of brings me to my next topic. But before we get too far into that, I guess I should do a plug here for you, Howard. Howard handed me some paperwork as I came in. Howard handed me some paperwork when I came in, and it says, you are invited to the Freedom Library's upcoming events. And so he's got a couple listed here, first being the 26th Annual Awards Forum. My question is, when I see awards, my first question is, will there be a slap to a person on the stage?
Not that I know of. Oh. We don't have anything planned.
Okay, no slapping people?
There won't be any slaps. We're just going to award our scholarship. Freedom Library is going to award its scholarships. And we're going to have two gentlemen at our awards forum, Kieran Hill and Joshua Stanwitz, both former Marines, two former Marines. And they're going to talk about realism and restraint of foreign policy, which I think should be kind of interesting coming from couple of Marines who have been
abroad
and been involved with what our military has been doing over the several decades, and so it should be kind of very, very interesting. So I invite everybody to come down. We're going to be at the Umasun building, but you come in through the Freedom Library entrance.
I see.
And it's free of charge, and we're going to have 50-50, and we're going to have books for sale, and it should be a nice evening.
That sounds really fun. Yeah, and that's May 5th.
Seven o'clock
through 9 o'clock. Anybody's welcome in the public to come and be part of this.
Correct.
The admission is free.
Yep.
And
We're asking for non-perishable food items for Crossroads Missions and Yuma Community Food Bank. We're looking for those, and of course, monetary donations to the Freedom Library.
And then you have a civility session coming up at the Freedom Library on May 11th. So same week, right? The next week.
Yeah,
May
5th the following week, right?
Is the award ceremony, and the May 11th is your actual civility session.
Yeah.
That's a trigger word for me, civility. Are you saying that I'm not civil, and so I need to come be taught how to be civil?
Well, in a way, we're going to – these two gentlemen, two journalists from Michigan, have been holding these civility sessions. I don't know how long they've been doing it, but I was involved with one that AWC sponsored last year, and that's what triggered me to explore the idea of having the Freedom Library sponsor one. And it's basically you learn how to talk with one another about all subjects, any subjects, because in the United States we have free speech. You get to
In spite of
what the government tells us, we do have free speech. People have these rights. They were preordained with these rights. They came with these rights. When you were born, you were born with these rights. But the point is, we have the ability to say what we want. And what we need to learn is how to be civil and how we say these things. It's okay to disagree. As a matter of fact, that's the underlying premise of the United States of America, is to disagree.
Right.
But we need to be able to disagree in a civil way. We don't need to be calling each other names. We don't need to be angry and antagonistic.
Now, I would ask, because I'd be curious, someone that teaches civility, has the guidelines changed in the last 5 or 6 years? Are we different now for what our expectations of civility versus what they were maybe a decade ago? Or is it something that's consistent?
That's a good question, Russ. I think we've had civility. I think in many, many cases we have civility today. We have a lot of discussion going on.
Yes.
And so
but we have
the vast majority of people don't take out baseball bats and start beating each other heads.
But no, our sensitivities have changed culturally.
Yeah.
And it's changed rapidly.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's incorporated into this civility now, that we have to not only do we have to be civil, but keep in mind we have to walk on eggshells and approach everybody so individually we can't keep track of it.
Well, no, I didn't get that out of the civility session that I that
Oh, I've never attended one. I was just curious.
No, well, the one I attended last, what was it, June? I think it was June last year that AWC put theirs on. It was more about just being able to share your ideas with somebody.
Without making it personal.
Without getting personal about it.
Yeah.
That's all. It's not a question of, I don't know, if there's anything sensitive about anything, it'd be respect for the other person's opinion.
Can we start teaching that in first grade instead of gender identity?
Yeah. Well, that needs... Yeah, that would be a great idea. That would be to teach civility amongst children. And I think that's being taught as well, at least from what my vantage point. But the whole idea is to remind us of, look, we can discuss these matters, but we don't have to be unruly with one another. But probably more importantly, we get to share our ideas about what government is. That's what I got out of it. I was able to share my opinion, okay, and it was my opinion, but it's a lot of people's opinion, but my opinion, of what government is. What's its job? What's it supposed to do? Without, you know, tearing down somebody else and calling them
right
names and that kind of thing. That's all. I thought it was a valid use of time, and that's why I asked the Freedom Library Board to approve that.
I'm intrigued by it. I mean, I think I would really enjoy. Yeah, there's
a link to log on to. I'll be sending some more emails out about it this week, and there's a link that you can click on and you register, and then you're in, and now you're part of the.
Our current culture has a cancel culture type adaptation of we cancel what we don't agree with, and which is a shame, and it's terrible, and it.
Yeah.
And I get told all the time, well, we shouldn't talk politics, we shouldn't talk religion, we shouldn't talk economics, because those are too hard to talk about and be civil. Yeah. Well, they shouldn't be.
But it shouldn't be. As a matter of fact, it should be just the opposite of what you just said.
It's some of the more important issues of life.
Yeah, we really need to be talking about those things because... We're giving up our inalienable rights as a result of not being able to talk, not feeling like we're able to talk about these things. And we need to feel like we're able to talk about.
One of the things I love about the Hispanic culture is that you can call somebody a name right to their face, but all you got to do is add a little, you know, bit to the end, like gordita. You can say, hey,
what does that mean?
Hey, fatty, you know, gordita. Yeah. But when you put the little ita on the end, it's like, oh, well, I can't be mad at you because, you know, it's just a term of affection. Even their most notorious in the most recent years, in Mexico at least, cartel guy, El Chapo, like Shorty. I mean, he's the most feared guy that we can't keep in prison. We've extradited him. We put him in prison. He escapes, and then he gets caught again. And he gets, you know, he kills millions of people, not millions of people, but lots of people, you know, and does all this mass damage. And we call him El Chapo, Shorty. Like, I love the Hispanic culture, how you can just call somebody how it is, right to your face, but with love. You know, why can't we do that?
Yeah.
We got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU. We'll be right back.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
Temperatures will stay above average into the start of next week for this Easter Sunday. Clear early, then some afternoon sun with a high hitting 93. Overnight, it will be clear with a low of 61. Sunny tomorrow with a high climbing to 99. And for Tuesday, windy with a mix of clouds and sun and a high in the upper 90s. Celebrate spring at Banana Republic Factory with 50 to 70% off everything. Discover vibrant dresses, modern suits, and more from $24.99. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory. I'm meteorologist Jeff Marr at the Weather Channel.
Contest rules for all giveaways and contests on 560 KBLU can be viewed and downloaded at our website, KBLUAM.com.
One of our clients told me that her 9-year-old took a new interest in cooking and helping in the kitchen while mom was on the Plan Z diet. This same girl also told her mom she was a better mom as a result of doing Plan Z because her mom now wanted to play outside and run around with her daughter. Losing the weight gave her new energy. Hi, this is Zola from PlanZDiet.com. A Kentucky dieter told me that the ZR50 Crave Control Spray worked so well she never even thought about her favorites, Mountain Dew and Chocolate Cake. This diet has so many benefits. I invite you to visit PlanZDiet.com and read the success stories. Our dieters are people just like you. Most of them aren't trying to get back to bikini thin or their high school football weight. They just want to be healthier and happier. The average Plan Z dieter loses 31 pounds in just 50 days. That's fast enough to stay motivated, and it's a big enough loss in the end to make dramatic improvements in how you look and feel. If you ever worry about the impact being overweight is having on your health and happiness, you owe it to yourself to seriously check out PlanZDiet.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, and we've got Howard, our constitutional guru, and we got Cody Beeson as well in the studio helping us with digital technology magic. And prior to the break, we were talking about civility and issues of civility that we all could work on, I imagine, right? We can do a better job with. Yeah. And the Freedom Library is hosting a civility course, I guess you could call it, or class.
It's a session. They call it a
session.
It's an hour and a half. It's 90 minutes. It's all on Zoom. And so you register by clicking on the link, and if you can find the link, otherwise give me a call at the Freedom Library at 928-246-2327, and I can give you the link.
Wonderful.
But it should be in the paper. I think it's under the What's Going On section right now. But anyway, that's what's coming up in May. Next week we got Roundtable Pizza, so come down and bring your appetite next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow.
Wonderful. Yeah, you got to take over at Roundtable.
Yep.
That's one of my favorite places for pizza. Any of the proceeds that you spend on this takeover night are going to be directed towards the Freedom Library.
A portion of all sales between 4 and 8 p.m. down there. Roundtable Pizza is going to contribute to the Freedom Library Scholarship Program. And be sure to mention the Freedom Library.
Very good. I love it. Well, I talked about today being tax day. In case you didn't know that, now you do, so get ready. And in my daily work, in my daily practice, I help families and individuals put together legal planning, and a lot of that planning is geared towards mitigating or reducing or hopefully avoiding a lot of taxes when a person passes away or transfers things from family member to family member. And there are different legal structures that we use to accomplish those tasks, and I love sitting with families and sticking it to the IRS. I mean, that's my goal in life. I'm teasing, but kind of teasing. Today is bittersweet for me because I'm always reminded of the amount of taxes that we pay as a general population and where those are actually going. I don't have the ability as an individual in our United States to say, hey, government, I don't like you taking my money and then spending it on this, that, or the other. One of those examples might be for our interests here in Yuma County would be we've got these immigrants coming across. They literally walk across down in Somerton, and we have buses. We, the federal government, has buses sitting there waiting for them to load them up, and then they transport them to the facilities where they might stay for a little while until they get shipped somewhere else in the United States. Now, regardless of your political stance, I really don't care. But what I do care about is that I still am responsible for paying money to pay to this transportation company that has contracted with the federal government when I don't really agree with that. I don't really want my money paying for fuel, which is outrageous right now, number one. Number two, a contract over the course of 1 year, 2 year, 3 years where they're spending millions of dollars to transport individuals that are not even citizens of the United States. To where? I don't know. Within our community. I've spoke with other people in our community that that have, it's more profitable for them to not run an actual restaurant. Rather, they'll contract with the federal government right now to provide daily meals to the immigrants that are being bused to our facilities, whereby we are going to now pay for the electricity to keep these facilities open. We're going to pay for their air conditioning and 120-degree heat. And all of this because of my glorious taxes on this day get sent to the federal government. And I don't have a say in that. I really don't. I mean, you could argue that, well, Adam, you can go to the polls and you can vote for, it's really voting, right? You vote for your politician. And I don't think so, because I really can't control the IRS. It's an administrative agency. They can really do whatever they want. There are ways that I can administratively go through their process if I have a grievance. But ultimately, it's like playing the slots in Vegas. The house always wins. Unless you have an exorbitant amount of money that can get you to the Supreme Court after going through your IRS administrative process, legal process of reprieve, then you're out of luck. And you'll probably end up losing that battle. And so, for the time being, we're kind of stuck. Now, that's pessimistic of me to say that, but I do get frustrated when I have to write a check or pay the federal government, and I don't have the ability to control where those funds go. I would like to see it the other way around. I would like to see the federal government have to work really hard to get my money from me until they can prove to me what they're going to use it for, because as a taxpayer, I want to know that I'm funding these issues or these are going to be of worth to the actual general population. There is a doctrine that some of you might be aware of. It's called the government taking, or in other words, eminent domain. And this has come up through the courts, through our jurisprudence over the years, since we've been a country, since the Constitution was enacted. And eminent domain consists of a government agency, or the government, whether that's federal, local, county, or it's the state government, saying, you know what, for the greater good, we need this particular slice of property or this whole chunk of property because it's going to do good for the population in some certain way. Now, there are more legal elements to it than that, but if the government determine that that's what they're going to do, then legally, they have to pay just compensation for that particular chunk of land or property, if you will, before they can actually take it from you. And that's what we call a government taking or eminent domain. And the just compensation piece of that does not mean fair market value. So the government could come in and say, you know what, we need to widen 16th Street right here, and we got to take out a chunk of your current business because our plans here are going to be encroaching about 50 feet into where your current building is. Therefore, for the greater good, we're going to take that 50 feet. And I don't really have a say in that. That's a government taking. They have to give me just compensation. Now, I say we don't have a say in that. You can hire an attorney and you can fight. Well, this isn't just compensation because you're only giving me pennies on the dollar. Like I said, most of the time those don't work or they don't win, but you can do it. You can try it. Ultimately, the government can take property if it's shown to be for the greater good of the citizenry, and it happens all the time when they want to get things done. And an example of that is the border wall. So the border wall from California over to Texas and beyond, there are parcels of property, even here in Arizona, many parcels of property where those are owned by private citizens. And in order to get the wall through there, the government has to take that property and then in turn give just compensation to that individual. Well, sometimes those individuals don't want a border wall going through their ranch or through their property, but they don't have an ability to really determine whether they can stop that or not. There have been some lawsuits in Texas and things like that of private landowners saying, no, I don't want to give you my land, but the government kind of bulldozes over that. The biggest thing that I was alarmed about was during the initial phases of the pandemic in 2020, let's say March, where we got locked down to our homes, and for certain professions that were deemed, you know, the anointed ones, I being one of them, the attorneys, we had a wild card. We could be open, but my friend who owns a gym could not. And my other friend, who is a practicing dentist, could not be open because the government said that is too risky, and therefore you cannot open your doors for business. Is that a government taking? They prevented my friends from actually providing for their family and putting food on the table and restricted them from coming out of their household. Is that constitutional? I would argue that it's not. And in a lot of cases, I would argue that many of these things that are put onto us through tax means are not constitutional. But what's our remedy? What do we do about it? I mean, ultimately, I've talked about this many times before. I am not a fan of government agencies. When I say agencies, I'm talking about administrative agencies. This is like what has been known as a fourth branch of government. You've got the legislative branch, you've got the judicial branch, you've got the executive branch. Those are all written and given glorious powers within our Constitution. But over the years, through our jurisprudence, have cropped up these administrative agencies. These are agencies that the executive can create or the legislature can create through legislation, and they're designed to help the other branches. So, for example, the IRS. The IRS is an administrative agency that was created in order to audit us and to get our taxes and to work through those accountings. You've got the Border Patrol. That's another administrative agency that is designed to keep our border safe, or another, I shouldn't say that way. It's more designed to process those that are coming into the United States. There's all sorts of agencies. I mean, there are tens of thousands of agencies, some of which you probably don't even understand or know about, but these are all funded by our tax dollars. And my question is, why does the government need my money? Why are they so adamant about me paying my taxes at a high rate? Why? Because they've got to fund these administrative agencies. They've got to fund their programs. And my response to that is, but do you? Do you really have to have all these programs? We got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and the Law. We'll be right back after this.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Did you know that Hyundai of Yuma and Kia of Yuma are veteran-owned dealerships?
Sir, yes, sir!
Yes, you heard right. Hyundai of Yuma and Kia of Yuma are veteran-owned by a U.S. Marine Corps sergeant who proudly served our country. If you're looking for a car, only think of Hyundai of Yuma and Kia of Yuma, and please allow them the opportunity to earn your business. Visit them today and check out their great inventory of cars. Bad credit, no problem. They accept all applications. Do you want huge dollars for your trade-in?
Yes, sir!
Your car has never been worth more than today, and at Hyundai of Yuma and Kia of Yuma, they will give you big cash. Visit Hyundai of Yuma and Kia of Yuma today, or shop online. HyundaiofYuma.com and KiaofYuma.com.
Kia of Yuma, a proud veteran-owned dealership.
Hoorah!
Hyundai of Yuma, a proud veteran-owned dealership.
Hoorah!
The border crisis in Arizona is real. Cartels and criminal gangs infiltrate our neighborhoods. Fentanyl kills our children. Our tax dollars spent on shelter and health care. Yet Joe Biden wants to end Title 42, bringing a new and bigger surge across the border. Andy Gould supports Title 42 because it works. Andy Gould also has a plan that works, a no trespassing zone. Posting no trespassing signs will empower law enforcement to arrest cartel members and illegals they are transporting when they trespass on state land and private land, and seize guns and drugs from cartel members to prosecute them. Andy Gould's years as a prosecutor and Arizona Supreme Court justice have given him the right experience to know what works and what doesn't. Title 42 works. So will the Gould No Trespassing Zone. Paid for by Andy Gould for Attorney General. Authorized by Andy Gould for Attorney General.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, and then we've got Howard, our constitutional guru, and then Cody Beeson, our regular tech guy. And Cody's been wonderful. He really knows his stuff, and I know, Cody, you have a degree in radio broadcasting, right?
Recording engineering, the same difference, right?
Oh, excuse me.
It's all the same.
How dare I?
Yeah, sure.
You make it sound all fancy, but long story short, he knows what he's talking about, and it's really fun because if I ever have an audio question, Cody is what we call an audiophile, and it sounds disgusting, but it's not. It just means that he really likes sound, and he's really good at it. He knows what mics to use. He knows good speakers and good technology, and so it's really fun to talk to Cody because he knows what he's talking about. The last break we were talking, prior to the last break, we were talking about this wonderful tax system that we live in. And I say that tongue in cheek because United States is one of, I think, maybe three or four tax jurisdictions that is a global tax system. And what that means is that if I live in Australia, for example, I have no ties to the United States. I'm a U.S. citizen, but I'm doing work for my company over in Australia, and I buy my groceries in Australia. My family lives in Australia. I'm not saying I really do. I'm saying it as an example. If I were to be in Australia and I'm living my life there, and all my money's going to the Australia government system because of their taxes and things like that, we are one of very few jurisdictions in the world with a global taxation system that says it doesn't matter if you're in Iraq, if you're in England, if you're in Spain, Australia, wherever you are in the world, because you are a U.S. citizen, every year you have to report back to the IRS whether you made money or not. Now, a lot of these things can be mitigated or kind of transactional because of certain treaties, tax treaties that we have with different forums throughout the world. So, for example, Australia would be one of those. All I have to do, not all I have to do, but some of what I would have to do in Australia is I do my Australian taxes, and then I would report back to the IRS here in the United States, hey, I'm living full-time in Australia, I paid taxes here, we have a treaty with them, and therefore I'm not going to pay the U.S. taxes because I'm not using its services right now, kind of thing. And so there are different forums like that throughout the world that we have tax treaties with. But the whole point of this is we are a global taxation system in the United States. The only way to get around that is to relinquish your U.S. citizenship. Otherwise, we're going to find you, and we're going to tax you, and you have to report back to us. So happy Monday, everybody. But Cody had a question that he pulled up on a forum that we get a lot, and this question has to do with, again, the IRS. We're celebrating this glorious day where we have to pay the piper to be in the United States. And when a person passes away, not a lot of people know this, but during our lifetimes, we are assigned a number, correct? If you're working, if you're doing things in your community or in the world, you are assigned a number. We call it your social security number, and that's a unique number to you, and you kind of keep that private. We don't want that floating around because a lot of things are tied to that, credit cards and bank accounts. Those are all tied to your unique social security number, and it's very sensitive data, and we want to keep that private. Well, when you pass away, your social security number dies with you. You don't get to keep that. It doesn't go in your casket. It doesn't go in your urn. That goes back to the government, and it's reported as this person is deceased, and then they go on the voting rolls I'm just kidding. That was a bad example. That was a bad joke. I'm sorry about that. That was a real bad joke. But seriously, your Social Security number, it goes away. But there's still things that need to be done after a person passes away in the legal realm. A lot of people will own property. They'll own real estate, or they'll own a car. They'll own a bank account. And those things that used to have a Social Security attributed to them, now they don't. A bank is a really good example of this, because a bank, if they have a bank account on their records that does not have a tax ID identifier connected to that bank account, and the federal government comes and audits them and they find, hey, you've got this account that doesn't have a valid Social Security number or tax ID attributed to it, then they get fined. So when a person passes away and they have a bank account in their name, then the bank is very quick to freeze that account until the family member or those that come behind can provide a new tax identification number to the bank for that individual account for the person that died. Well, where do you get this magic number? You get it from the IRS. So you go to the IRS and you say, hey, this person's died. Their social is no longer good. And so we need a number. We need a new tax ID number. And it's known as an EIN number. In other words, an employer identification number. They're not an employer, but that's the term that's used. It's EIN. And a family member or a beneficiary, they have to go to the IRS and they have to ask for this wonderful number. Well, oftentimes it's not very intuitive. And people will Google it because they've gone to the bank and the bank says, nope, the account's frozen. You can't get in. We need a new number. And they don't give a lot of advice. In fact, they can't give advice. And so they'll often say that, go see an attorney and they'll help you. But they do tell them enough to know that, hey, you need a new EIN number for this account or else you can't get in. So people in their own wisdom, they'll say, I don't need an attorney. Those guys are losers and they just charge us a lot of money and they're weasels. And so I'm going to do this myself. So they go to the IRS website thinking that they're going to do themselves a solid, and they try and get their own EIN number. But usually what will happen is that they'll fumble around because it's not intuitive. It's a government website, and they'll end up getting a number, but the number or the details aren't correct, how they did the form and all this through this whole questionnaire. And now once you do it that way through the website and you've done it incorrectly, now you're kind of stuck because you can't go back. There is no remedy through the online system. Now you're down to mail. You've got to mail the IRS and say, oops, I messed this up. Can you correct this? And now you're going back and forth with snail mail. It's not email. It's not a fax machine. It's through the mail system. You have to deal with the IRS at that particular point. Well, from time to time, we'll get people coming or reaching out to us and saying, hey, I went to go get this EIN number, but I just can't afford it. It's way too much for me. And at first, we were really puzzled, like, wait a second, it's free, just like a Social Security number is free. The government wants your money, and they want to know, so they're going to give you this for free. How wonderful of them. But what will happen is oftentimes people will Google or they'll look up on the internet how to get an EIN number after a person dies because they're trying to get in that bank account or they're trying to get business done legally, and they're very antsy to get this number. And there are scams out there or companies that'll say, you know what, we'll get it for you for $297. And people not being as sophisticated as you know, other people, they won't check the actual domain name for, well, does this have a .gov, a .gov on it? Because if it doesn't, then you're in the wrong spot. You're going to get your EIN number from the government, from the IRS. So the website you're going to go to is going to have a .gov URL. So don't get sidetracked and don't try and spend money on these things that don't cost money. There's no money that you have to pay for an EIN number. There's no money that you have to pay for a Social Security number. The IRS is very, or I should say the federal government is very gracious to us. And they say, you know what? We're going to give you this wonderful number that we can track you with so we can tell if you're paying your proper amount of taxes. Isn't that so nice of them? But you don't got to pay for it because they're very quick to give that to a person as long as you ask. So that's the idea, is you just don't ask. No, I'm kidding. You got to ask. You have to get an EIN number when a person passes away. And that it depends on whether they own property in their name. If they owned it in an entity name like a trust, or a business, then the business will already have an EIN number, most likely. If it doesn't, then you have to get an EIN number. If it's a trust, it will have to get a new EIN number, because usually a typical revocable trust is going to use the person that created it, their Social Security number during their lifetime. And again, like I mentioned before, when a person dies, their Social Security number goes away. And so in order to get things done legally on behalf of their bank accounts and on their cars and any property that they might have, we're going to need that EIN number to get that business done. And so that's a very common problem. And Cody, you brought that up because that was a common question that we get quite a bit, because, you know, people, they're trying to do their best as what I find. I often say this when I talk to the people that come in to see me, because they'll usually lament something like, well, I didn't know, and I'm worried. I was worried that I was going to do this wrong. And so I came to see you, Adam. And it's usually like their last resort, because they don't want, they're just, I don't know, afraid. It's like going to the dentist, maybe. And so they try all these other things, and they get down this road, and they feel like, oh man, I don't know if I'm doing this right, and I'm really scared. And at that point, once they're pretty scared, then they'll come and see me. And I say, you know what? Don't worry about it. First of all, nobody's watching over your shoulder yet. And secondly, it can be fixed. If you messed it up, we can fix it. You know, everything can be fixed. And this is probably your first time. It's not every day that you have to come in and help after a person passes away. So
I have a question. What then, Adam, is the purpose of going through getting your will and getting your trust set up if my wife would have to go and get another Social Security number? If I die, my Social Security number is no good. You just said it's not valid. So is she going to have to go and get another Social Security number?
For you, no. Hers will stay the same. If she's alive, nothing yeah. changes for her.
So
it's just for the dead person.
Okay, but since we put everything into a trust,
mm-hmm.
then who? Okay, so the beneficiaries of the trust, then their Social Security numbers automatically take over? Is that what you're saying?
You brought up a really good point. So Howard, you have a trust, a living trust yeah. in place, and and you're married. And so usually in a typical living trust, what will happen is nothing when the first spouse passes away. The remaining spouse that's alive, their Social Security number still is used to identify for tax purposes the trust to the IRS.
Okay.
A trust is actually a pass-through entity, so it doesn't need an EIN until after the second person in a married couple situation passes away. Because when the second spouse passes away, in this example, once your wife, if she dies second, once she dies, then the beneficiaries, I shouldn't say the beneficiaries, whoever you've named as a successor, manager, right. or trustee,
right.
then they'll go out and they'll get an EIN number on behalf of the trust, because both of the people that use their Social Security numbers to identify that trust for tax purposes are gone. And so both of those Social Security numbers are gone. So now we need a new number on behalf of the trust. And that's what the manager is responsible for, the successor trustee. They're the ones that will go online to the IRS and get that new number. But in a person that doesn't have a trust and their situation where they die, now we're going through the court system. That's why I'm dressed up today. I've got to go to court right after this, because this person died intestate without a will, and so their Social Security number went away with them once they died. And so the court's going to say, okay, Adam, when you help this family through this process, you need to create this legal entity that's known as the estate of John Doe. Okay, and it's a legal entity, and that legal entity needs an EIN number. So the first step is I'm going to go to court. I'm going to ask the judge that they can open up this new matter and nominate this person as the personal representative, or the person that's going to be taking control of this whole dead person's estate. And then once I get that court order back from the judge, now I can go to the bank. Or excuse me, I'm going to go to the IRS website first, and I'm going to get an EIN number on behalf of the estate of John Doe.
So that's what you would do after that. That's what you would do then once myself and my wife pass away. Because because the personal representative that I've nominated, their Social Security number doesn't work.
Right. Okay. And in your case, you use the word personal representative. In your case, Howard, you have a trust.
Right.
A personal representative is an executor, used to be called an executor of a will.
Okay.
So in your case, this won't happen. We don't need to go to court because you have a trust.
Right.
But in the case that I'm going to court today
I understand that.
They didn't.
But my point is the person who is in charge of my trust, of our trust.
Yes. They're responsible.
They're going to be responsible to go get this EIN,
number, and they don't use their own Social Security number, or else things will be taxed to them personally. Yeah. We don't want that.
No.
So they're just a representative. They're just a manager. Okay. And the same as in
and you
this
help,
estate.
You help people like that do that, right?
That's exactly what I do.
Okay.
Yep. Super fun. We got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM KBLU.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
When it's hot, the last thing you want is your home's AC to quit on you. At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, our team of comfort specialists take the frustration out of the equation. From simple repairs to more complex fixes, we'll get you cool and comfortable quickly. Just call 928-783-4242 or visit 1HourYuma.com.
Always on time, boy, you don't pay a dime. Always on time, boy, you don't pay a dime.
Independently owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county.
America's border is in crisis. Last year, 2 million illegal immigrants entered our country, more than the population of Phoenix. And now, the Biden administration is busing illegal immigrants with criminal convictions across America. Who can we trust to secure the border when the politicians keep selling us out? Brandon Judd of the National Border Patrol Council and Justin Harris of the Arizona Police Officers Association trust Jim Lehman for U.S. Senate.
I am so proud, and on behalf of the National Border Patrol Council, to endorse Jim Lehman.
The Arizona Police Officers Association is proud to announce our endorsement of Jim Lehman for the United States Senate.
I am Jim Lehman. Join me. Together, we'll stop the human smugglers, drugs, gangs, and politicians, bring power back to the people of America, and secure our border. I'm Jim Lehman, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Jim Lehman for Senate.
Marketing your business can be a challenge. The most effective have found success by placing a greater emphasis on making an emotional connection with current and future customers. People make decisions based on emotion and then use logic to justify their decision. Call it pretzel logic. It only makes sense to them. Using emotional connections are proven to have a longer-lasting impact on your potential customers than any kind of logical approach. Learn how to tap into emotions and bond with your potential customers at YumaAdvertising.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. We got Howard, our constitutional guru, and Cody, our tech guy, making us, supposed to be making us better. We've been talking a lot about taxes today, and I should more appropriately say lamenting about taxes. And over the break, Howard said, this can't last much longer. And I said, why? Like, what's the resolve?
Wait.
Anarchy? You know, like maybe, a revolt?
Maybe. But you know what? We should really be talking about the government spending. You can talk about taxes all you want, But the real taxes is based upon all the government spending, because the government only has one source of revenue, and that's taxes. I was just mentioning on the break here, each individual is on the hook for $20,000 a year to finance the spending of the federal government of the United States. So all my grandkids, Russ's grandkid, every child, everybody is on the hook. They're spending $20,000 a year just to finance the federal government. So if you got a family of four, that's $80,000 a year they're having to spend, okay, and they haven't even made their mortgage payment yet. So is it any wonder why it's so difficult for people to make ends meet? This is why I say it can't last, because how much money is it going to take before we're 100% basically taxed? We're all on the hook. Every single citizen of the United States, including our grandkids, is on the hook for $100,000 of debt servicing. $100,000. So that means $400,000 of debt service for a family of four. I mean, that's outrageous. Just the federal government. We haven't even talked about the state government, county government, city government, you know, that kind of thing.
In the words of my 10-year-old daughter, that's stupid.
It is.
I don't advocate for that word or that language in my house.
I agree.
But sometimes there is a word for everything, and I would say that's pretty stupid. Yeah. And over the break, we were talking about, I can't stand it when we're watching these presidential debates or these gubernatorial debates, and they're talking about things that really, who cares? Like, you're talking about issues that don't really even matter to me in my daily life, these social justice issues that I could care less about. What I care about is you taking my money through tax means and then misappropriating that money. I don't have a remedy to that. The only remedy I have is, as a voting individual in the United States, I can vote for people that I hope understand that same concept, that really the government should not need my money. What do you need my money for? Save these programs that you have established that I didn't have any say in. Yeah. I didn't give you authorization to take my money and to fund these buses transporting immigrants all over the United States and paying for gas, paying for transportation means to the tune of billions of dollars that I didn't authorize. So why is it that I continue to live my life on a daily basis paying the piper, as you will, as if we were living in a country club that I can't even control the rules of? Why would I do that? I'm not saying that I'm going to not do it, because if I don't do it, then I go to prison. And that's I just find it really interesting that we've come full circle. It feels like we left the dynastic rule of a British king many, many years ago, over 200 years ago. And here we've come full circle in the pseudo name of democracy.
This is
not a democracy when I don't have a voice or ability to have a justified means of getting my money or keeping my money or my property from the government without just compensation.
We have come full circle.
And I think a lot of people are waking up to that reality, especially when you've got like an Elon Musk, which I'm really grateful for what he's doing. You've probably heard in the news cycle how he has made an offer for Twitter, and this looks to be a play into freedom of speech protection. I don't really know. Like, I'm not one that jumps right in and says, "Oh my gosh, Elon Musk, he's a modern day hero," because you know it's not really for capitalist reasons why he's doing this. It's all for free speech. I'm not quick like a lot of talking heads are to say that. I always feel there's probably some underlying reason for things like this. It's really going to pad your pocket in some way. But I do give it to the guy that he is putting his money where, or it seems to be that he's putting his money where his mouth is. And I applaud that. If that's the case and there's no nefarious background or what do you call those, kickbacks, then good on him, man. That is awesome. And we haven't seen that. And it takes an Elon Musk who has money to that extent to be able to push these issues in a public forum and not suppress the information. In this current climate that we live in, if you say something that is not the mainstream standard, then you're going to be lambasted and you're going to be canceled, like Russ has mentioned before. And that's the culture that we're living in. But I don't like to believe that. I tend to believe that most of us are pretty unified in the sense that we want to be able to receive information. I'll read the New York Times. I'll read the Epic Times. I'll read, comic strips in the newspaper. I'm intelligent. I would hope I'm intelligent enough to get this information and then in my own mind work out what I believe to be correct and my own opinions. And I would hope that my neighbor is able to do that too. But if you're not giving me the information because you're suppressing it or you're giving it to me in a narrated form, then that is not true free speech. That's Life, Death, and the Law. We'll talk to you next week. This has been another episode. Be good.
Or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU El Dorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.